In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks for joining us and happy Friday, friends.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. I play video games, and my favorite Karen Gillan role is Nebula, of course.
I'm Brian Truitt, and I watch movies, and duh, Nebula is the greatest Karen Gillan role of all time.
I'm Kelly Lawler. I watch television, and I am going to oppose my fellows, because my favorite Karen Gillan role is obviously Amy Pond on Doctor Who.
If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. New episodes of The Mothership drop every Friday, and you can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen. And while you're on Apple Podcasts, it would be lovely if you could write a quick review about the show. By doing that, you'll be helping other fans who love nerdy pop culture find us. And as a thank you, we'll give you a very special shout out on our next episode. If not, we'll send Nebula after you. So try it out. Tell us what you want from the show. We love it. We really appreciate it. Don't forget, along with leaving a review, you can get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod, or you can send an email to mothershippod@usatoday.com. This week, we have a very special guest joining us in the studio, and we're not at all blue about it. Here's a clip.
Tell me something. In the future, what happens to you and me?
I try to kill you. Several times. But eventually, we become friends. We become sisters. Come on. We can stop him.
Yes, that was a clip of Karen Gillan as Nebula, the bald, semi-robotic Marvel Cinematic Universe baddie turned hero, who first appeared in Guardians of the Galaxy in 2014. Wow, time flies. And has been tearing it up across the world in Avengers Endgame. Karen is joining us on the phone to talk about the other film she has out this spring, All Creatures Here Below, and to answer some of our most burning questions about the MCU, Jumanji, and a whole lot more. Karen, thanks so much for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start here. So, you know, a lot of people know you from Endgame, but that's not the only movie you have going this spring. You're also in All Creatures Here Below, which is out May 17th. It's an indie film, but it's a relationship crime thriller. Talk a bit about your character and what her story is.
And so I play a character called Ruby, and she is kind of in a difficult situation in her life where she really wants to have a child, but there's something in her life that's preventing her from doing that. And that's a spoiler, so I can't go into that. But so she's really battling with these natural instincts. And so she ends up taking somebody else's child, and then they go on the run and try to take care of this child.
So for people who know you from MCU and Jumanji and Doctor Who, this movie probably seems like a really big left turn. What drew you to the role initially?
It just felt like it was something a little bit different for me. I read the script and thought, wow, I've never played a character like this. I've never even read a character like this in any other script. It felt like it was telling the story of people from a section of society that we don't normally get to see on screen. And, you know, these are the people that really have been failed by the system and by their families. But it's a really uplifting story at the same time, because even though they're in an incredibly unfortunate situation, like, it just shows that love and hope can grow in sometimes the worst situations in life.
I watched it, and both you and David Desmalchin are really, really good and really, really emotional performances. How was working with him for this?
It was incredible. That was a huge reason why I wanted to be involved in the project in the first place. I read the script, fell in love with it, and then I watched another movie that he made called Animals that he mm-hmm. wrote and acted in. And I was just amazed by his talent. I mean, he's such an incredible actor, and I wanted to be acting with him in a scene. I wanted to see where we could end up if we were throwing things at each other in the middle of scenes, and it just felt like a really cool artistic experience.
So you're not part of this giant Marvel Cinematic Universe family.
As is David.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, has it gotten to the point now where, like, you're just doing errands and you'll run into, say, Chris Evans here or Chris Hemsworth there? Like, are you always bumping into people from the MCU as you're going about your day?
I mean, I guess so, in a way. I mean, when we're working or promoting, yeah, that's actually the funniest part of it, is like just seeing like all half of the superheroes on the planet talking about what they watched on television the night before or something really mundane. And I'm like, can we just take a moment to realize that you're all dressed like superheroes right now?
So you're just coming off one of the biggest movies ever with Endgame. Obviously, it was a huge deal for the MCU. And Nebula got a bigger role in the movie than she had in some of the other ones. When you first took on the role, you know, all the way back in Guardians of the Galaxy, what kind of expectations did you have about where she would go and where you'd be in 5 years?
I had no idea this is where the character was going to end up. When I signed on for this role, or even signed on to audition for this role, I thought it was going to be 8 days of filming, and my character was going to be killed in the original draft of the script for Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's what I thought I was signing up for. But then when I did the screen test, it was such an incredibly emotional moment, because the scene was between Nebula and Gamora, her sister, the other daughter of Thanos, and they're kind of talking about all of the stuff that their father put them through. And so even from the very beginning, the character clearly had the potential to end up where she has in Endgame, but like I didn't think we were ever going to get there. And then they just rewrote the ending of Guardians of the Galaxy, brought me back for another Guardians. And then they were like, you're going to be in Avengers and you have a lot to do. And I was like, thank you so much. This is amazing to see the character finally reach that point that we saw in the first screen test.
So, you know, Nebula spends a bit of time with Tony Stark at the beginning of the film because, you know, obviously they're getting stuck in space together at the end of Infinity War. Describe what it was like filming his death scene and then the memorial afterward. Was that, you know, was that kind of like as wrenching for you as it was for, you know, the characters and everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, it was just this wild thing where it felt like a true ending. I mean, Marvel are really delivering on that front. You know, it's all been leading towards this big moment. And so it kind of felt apt that everyone would be there to celebrate the person who started this whole thing off. He's like the godfather of the whole Marvel universe. And it was, yeah, it was emotional. It definitely felt like the end of an era. And now it's time for a whole new batch of people to come in and continue it. But it was emotional for everyone, I think.
How challenging was it for you to keep everything kind of hush-hush as far as this movie go? Because obviously, you know, spoilers are a big thing with these movies in particular. I mean, how tough was it for you to kind of, you know, keep all this in before the movie came out?
Ugh, so tough. I'm still like nervous to talk about it. Like even during that answer, I was like, am I giving something away? And it's like, the movie's out. Everybody knows. But like, you just like, you get it ingrained in your mind. Like, don't give things away, because the element of surprise is such a wonderful feeling for the audience. And we want the audience to experience that when they're watching the film. And so, yeah, it's just really, really a scary responsibility that I'm glad the burden has been lifted off of me.
You were talking about All Creatures Here Below, and you were worried about spoiling us for that. Has it being in the MCU made you more spoiler-averse for like any movie you're ever going to be in again or any TV show?
I mean, it seems that way if I'm not willing to give away a spoiler about an indie movie that's not genre at all. It seems like it's taken over everything.
So this is an important question here I have for you. Are you a master of paper football at this point?
I would say yes. Having been taught by Robert Downey Jr., I would go as far as to say I'm pretty damn good.
Do you have a favorite RDJ story?
He is such a wonderful, oh my God. I mean, I'm just in awe of him as an actor and always have been. So when I got to shoot those scenes with him, which were all improvised, it was just amazing because he's one of the most like loose, free performers I've ever encountered. And he was so supportive that he allowed me to be that as well. And so I feel like I just got such an acting lesson from him. And then we bonded over wearing prosthetics and what that unique feeling is. And yeah, he's a great sort of number one on the cast list, meaning like that person really sets the tone for everybody else in the cast. And he was just so welcoming and would host these lunches and we would all go and socialize. And yeah, he's like a natural born leader of the gang.
So speaking of the prosthetics, I saw that picture that I think RDJ took that you posted on Instagram of all of the women from the movie grabbing lunch together.
Yeah.
And you're in your Nebula makeup, but you said you couldn't really smile. How have the prosthetics changed over
it's
those four movies?
To smile. The prosthetics haven't changed too much. I think we've added some, actually, so it's even more enclosed. So it's really intense to wear, but then it just really informs the character. So it's become part of my getting into character process at this point. But it is hard to smile. But then you know what? It's hard for Nebula to smile. She's not very happy.
So we know there's another Guardians movie in the works. And we heard that recently that James Gunn is back as director. I mean, how do you feel seeing him return to the director role?
Oh, we're all so excited because truly it does feel like a family. And the Guardians cast is just, everybody's so close. And it felt like our dad had been taken away or something. It was really, really sad. But to hear that he's coming back and he's in his rightful position again, we're all just completely over the moon. You know, it's so good to have him back, but also it just didn't feel like it would be a Guardians movie without James. I mean, so much of it is his personality, his sense of humor, his taste in music. It just felt like, can anybody even make one of these movies? Fortunately, we don't have to find out because it's going to be him.
So it does look like kind of Thor is going to be with the crew. You know, just from the end of Endgame, it looks like that might be a possibility. Do you want to hang out with Dad Bod Thor or like Rip Thor?
I'm gonna say like Drunken Thor. Drunken Thor is hilarious. I feel like he's gonna provide a lot of humor. As much as I would love to see Rip Thor, I think we all would. I'm gonna choose Drunken Thor.
So you know, since Infinity War and Endgame and the later part of the MCU, many of the characters have been jumping around at each other's movies. Is there any theoretical film that you'd want to join? Maybe hang out with the Ant-Man team for a while?
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah, I would do that. I would head over to a Captain Marvel adventure. I think that would be pretty cool. Yeah, I would love to see Nebula in a different situation. It was so cool to see her with different people in the Avengers film, and that sort of brought out different sides of her character. And so it would be really cool to do something like that again.
I loved a little friendship with her and Rhodey, and her telling Rhodey about Scott the idiot on the porch.
Yes, I know. She found a friend in Rhodey. And they kind of, you know, bonded over being replaced with machinery or using machinery parts. And so it's nice to see Nebula starting to make some friends.
So, you know, we heard you recently wrapped up Jumanji 2, and then you have the action film Gunpowder Milkshake on the way. It seems like between these films and the Marvel movies, I mean, is making movies right now just kind of the best workout for you? It seems like it's a lot of effort with all these action films that you're working on.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I have never trained so much in my entire life. And I feel like I was, you know, not unathletic before I was an actress. You know, I was into running and stuff. But this is like putting me through my paces because I'm constantly either working out or like learning how to fight someone or doing martial arts. And so it has just become like part of the job at this point, which is really cool because I never thought this would happen. I never, you know, predicted that I would go down this road. But I absolutely love it. It's so cool.
Any secrets or fun stories you can share from the Jumanji set?
Oh, gosh, what can I tell you about that? See, now I'm climbing up because I can't give away any spoilers for this one either.
We're back. This is back to spoiler town.
We've gone Marvel-level secret on this. they've gone like to the lengths of Marvel, meaning there's like no hard copies of scripts anywhere, or like no call sheets or anything.
It's better for the environment anyway.
But I can tell you it's going to be hilarious, and people are going to be playing people that are very unexpected.
Working with, like, you know, Dwayne and you know, Kevin and Jack, you know, kind of seeing, you know, kind of working with him again on this, is it kind of like Guardians, where, you know, kind of like, you know, you come back and you have this kind of like little group of, you know, teammates, and, you know, you laugh together, you work together. Do you find it's just as much fun for you as like the Marvel movies with that group?
Oh, absolutely. I love those guys on Jumanji. I mean, on Jumanji, we've got some of the funniest people in the world all together. And so it is just, I mean, it's like exactly as you'd imagine. It's constant laughter. Like, I'm honestly surprised that we are able to finish our days, because all I remember doing is laughing in the middle of takes when I'm not supposed to be. I mean, it's just too fun. And Kevin Hart is just like going around doing all of these bits constantly. And then there's Jack and Dwayne. And so it's a hilarious experience. And I love working with those guys. I feel like I'm getting a lesson in comedy. That's for sure.
You talked about working out. Have you ever hit the gym with Dwayne? Is that something that you've ever done yet?
I have not done that. One day I'm going to do it. I'm going to be like, listen, Rock, I think I can do your workout, and I want to prove it.
He would probably take you.
One day.
He would probably take you up on that.
One of our reporters tried to eat what The Rock ate once, and it didn't go very well.
Oh my God. I've been watching what he eats all day, and I've started to copy his diet, because we're basically the same physique. And it's so much food. It's every hour? I don't know. And it's a lot.
I'm always impressed with his cheat days, because I can't imagine a human being eating all that food at once, but he somehow pulls it off. It's so impressive.
I know. I'm just like, how can you even do that? But then when you see him, you're like, oh, wait, you're giant.
So for you, if, you know, amidst all the working out and training and things like that, what's your go-to, like, cheat, like, your guilty pleasure kind of food that you go to all the time?
Oh, great question. Okay. So I would do, okay, this is what I do sometimes. I will get a full pizza, margarita, and I will get spaghetti bolognese. And I will eat both of them. That's two meals. And then I'll probably eat some peanut M&Ms afterwards. Or I would do like a Shake Shack with fries. Shake Shack burger.
They make them with lettuce wraps now.
Oh, you got to get the bun.
No lettuce wrap. You can't.
She just ate us pizza to spaghetti. So I think she's going to go for the bun.
So this is a question for like a very like small but loud subsection of the internet who is still obsessed with selfie after all these years. I don't know if you knew, but it just recently dropped off of Hulu on May 1st. And we're all very sad about it.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Aww. R.I.P. selfie.
Hopefully it ends up on the Warner streaming service. All that stuff is moving around with all these new streaming services coming.
Oh, right.
But do people still ask you about selfie?
Yes. Oh my God. It's actually so crazy how much of a lifespan this thing has had, considering it was only 13 episodes. People like responded to it. And, you know, Jon Cho has such an incredible fan base as well. And that show was the first TV show in America to ever have a male romantic lead, Asian romantic lead. And so it was quite groundbreaking in that sense. And it's cool to see the effects of that afterwards.
Do you think maybe you and him can have some superheroics together in the future, maybe?
I would love to work with him again. I see him every so often, and we get on like a house on fire. And do you use that expression here in America? Means we get on.
We do.
Oh,
yeah. We do.
Oh, you do? Okay. Just felt like that might have sounded really weird. And so we always talk about the next project that we're going to do together. It's something that we always talk about, and we're going to figure it out.
Thank you so much for taking time, Karen.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Okay, listeners, your turn. You guys planning to see All Creatures Here Below? What's your favorite Karen Gillan movie?
Or TV show,
yes. Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod, but you can also tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
And I'm at Kalawls, K-L-A-W-L-S.
Don't forget, you can email us too. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. That will do it this week. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to our pilot/producers of the Mothership this week, Shannon Green and Natalie Boyd. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to the Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, you can leave us a rating or a review. It helps others find the show, and we love, love, love the feedback. If Apple Podcasts isn't your jam, you can also find us on SoundCloud or Stitcher or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Thanks again for joining us. Until next week, nerds out.
Later.
Bye.